Good morning again. My name's Nick, as already been introduced. And again, for those of you that might not know, I presume you all do know, we're from a group of six churches. Pitsea, Dagenham, East Ham, Barking, Eardbury, and then Ashendene as well. And really, we're just a group of churches that work together and help each other in various different areas, including prayer, prayer groups, meeting together, leadership meeting together as well, to study together, to pray for one another, Bible studies, worship, preaching, and many more things, and more things hopefully to come as well. So please do continue to pray for us as we further develop this hub. It's quite new within Ealing. I know you guys have kind of already modelled some of it here when it was called Estuary, a little bit as well, which is amazing. Obviously, God wants to do something in this area. So just want to ask a few questions. Who here has a job? I know some of us maybe are beyond that age, but who here has a job? Okay. Who here perhaps, maybe in their lifetime, was working towards a specific career, maybe working towards going up the chain of a career ladder? Was anyone? Yeah, a few of us, okay. Who here either is or has bought a house or is working towards buying a house? What about family? I assume many of us have had a family. Yeah, maybe. So we're all, none of us are super young here today. Definitely the youngest person here today. So that's myself working towards a family. Maybe some of you have saved for a pension or are saving for a pension. Maybe some of you have perhaps thought about leaving a legacy behind throughout your life. A lot of things that we can do in our life, isn't there, to work towards, a lot of things we can focus on. But today, in contrast to that a little bit, we're going to be reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and for those of you who know your Bible, you know where this is going already. So just a little bit of context, the book of Ecclesiastes, it's commonly attributed to King Solomon, to the person who has authored it, who has wrote it. It is debated, it's unclear fully exactly who it is, because it doesn't actually say exactly, but we do know that it was a descendant of David, and it was a king at the time of Jerusalem when it was written. I personally believe it was King Solomon. But not everyone does believe. Today I'm going to actually be reading from the NIV version, which is something I don't normally do. I usually use the CSB version, but I will be using the CSB version a little bit later. Do we normally stand when we read the Bible? No? Then we won't do this one. That's fine. Sometimes I think it's good to get the blood rushing and keep us awake. But Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1. Here we go. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water graves of flourishing trees. Flourishing trees. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart to no pleasure, my heart to delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. Chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. I'm going to jump to verse 22. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless. Chasing after the wind. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. It's a bit challenging. A lot of interesting things said here this morning. But Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is true. It's good for correction and discipline, building up, encouraging, and so many things, Lord. We thank you that we even have the ability to read it in our language, Lord. I just pray, Lord, this morning that as I speak, Lord, that I'm speaking things that you want me to say, not things that I've just necessarily prepared on my own, or things that just come to my mind, but I pray that you things, Lord, that you want me to say. I pray, Lord God, that we'd have open hearts and minds and ears this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today's sermon is titled, fittingly, Everything is Meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And that's my first point this morning here as well. Everything is meaningless. Ecclesiastes 1:2. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, when I first read Ecclesiastes, I was pretty sure that the author was having a bad day. It doesn't seem to me like he was having a very good day at all. Everything is meaningless. Everything is just nothing. Almost feels a little bit depressive, right? I remember the first time when I did read it, I was actually quite young. I must have been about 20, I think. 20, 21, something like that. I was a bit depressed at the time. So I was trying to read through the Bible at times. I thought, I'm going to read a whole book right through this time, just from start to finish, a whole book. Not the whole Bible, but a book from the Bible. And I chose Ecclesiastes. And like I said, I was feeling a bit depressed at the time. And I'm not sure it helped me at the time. Probably because I didn't really fully understand it. Everything is utterly meaningless when you read that. Initially, if you don't understand it, how dreary is that? But you see, the author isn't necessarily having a bad day or taking pity on themselves. Instead, the author has actually stumbled upon something that is a great truth, which I do believe and hope that all of us can be blessed with this morning, or at the very least reminded of this morning. So, just to give you a little insight into how this I was inspired for this sermon, just last year I attended a funeral. A dear old lady from our church in Barking, her name was Anne Wells. She had such an inspiring testimony when there was a eulogy. There was a number of people who came forward. They shared how loving she was, how she would constantly give to people. She felt that her ministry was to give, and she would constantly be giving to people who were in need. She would also share the love of the Lord with people as well, openly. She was really a woman who served the Lord. And it really inspired me at that moment. Just in my own personal life, it challenged me a little bit. Afterwards, after the actual funeral, we went to the burial. And actually, this was the first time I had ever been to a burial. I've been to many funerals, but never to a burial. A lot of the funerals I went to were cremation, so it wasn't a burial. Or I just never went to the burial part. So I was standing here, I remember after the ceremony, the burial, after the coffin's been put down into the ground, I remember stood there a little bit longer, I just looked at it, and I was just really, it was just eye-opening to me. It was just like, there's a person in there, a dead body in there. And it was just, for me, really surreal. Don't ask me why, I mean, this was only last year, I'm 34 this year, so it's not like I've never heard of death before. But it was just something different for me. And I remember just thinking in that moment, what is the point of all of this? What is the point of just striving to do things constantly? Striving to save money, striving to do all these things, if we're just going to end up in the ground? Especially if we're just doing it at the cost of important things in our lives. And that's what really inspired me for this sermon today. Ecclesiastes 3:19 says this: "Surely the fate of human beings is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Humans have no advantage over animals. Everything is meaningless. There is no point to anything." And I'm coming. For those of you who already know the answer to this, I'm getting there. Everything is truly meaningless. There is no point in accumulating wealth. There is no point in trying to leave a legacy behind. There is no point in working so hard that you have no enjoyment in life. There is no point in living your life for pleasure. Everything is meaningless. And this goes to my second point. Why do we go through life being so concerned about things? It's more of a question, really. Why do we go through life being so concerned about things? Who here has heard the parable of the sower? The parable of the sower. Jesus talks about the parable of the sower. So those of you who aren't familiar with it, or maybe have forgotten a little bit, there's this sower person who sows seeds. And he's walking along this maybe a field, I don't know, doesn't really specify, but he's walking along and he's sowing his seeds out of his bag, just chucking them on the ground. And a few of them go on the path, and the birds came to eat it. A few fell on this rocky ground, and because it was quite rocky and it's not good soil, the roots didn't grow deep. So it sprung up, it came alive, but as soon as the sun came beating on it, it just died and withered away. It had no good roots in it. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew and choked the crop. But then some fell on good ground, and it produced lots of crop. But today I want to hone in on the third one, the thorns and the thistles. Mark 4:18-19. "Others are like seed," this is Jesus, "others are like seed sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." This is Jesus warning people that the word of God sometimes is sown into the minds of others who are more concerned, actually, about the things of this life. Because of that, it gets choked and it becomes unfruitful. The person then becomes unable to actually put into action what the Lord might have them to do. Ecclesiastes 1:2 again, meaningless, meaningless. Everything is utterly meaningless. 1:14, "I've seen all the things that are done under the sun, all of them are meaningless, chasing after the wind." Ecclesiastes 2:11, "Yet when I surveyed all that my hands have done, what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. Chasing after the wind, nothing was gained." You know, for me, if I'm honest, I personally believe in life, or feel, it's more of a feeling because I know it's meaningless ultimately, but I personally feel that there's nothing better in your life to leave a legacy behind, to leave something that for the good would affect the earth, affect the other people's society. It could be an invention of some sort, it could be some sort of science or some knowledge that kind of progresses humanity in general. I feel personally that there's nothing better than that in an earthly way. But according to this, even that is a chasing after the wind, because everyone eventually is going to pass away. And as we know in the Bible, this earth is going to be burned up. This earth will not be like it is today. It will be a new earth, a new heaven. So whilst it might be good for a short time, ultimately the end is the same. It's everyone. Second Peter 3:10, New Testament, says this: "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare," or burned up. Everything done in it, and on the earth, we burned up. All the things that we are accumulating, all the things that we are saving for, all the things that we work so hard to achieve, all the legacies we work to leave behind, all of our works will be burned up. Nothing will matter anymore. Ecclesiastes 4:4, "And I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another." This too is meaningless, chasing after the wind. That's interesting, isn't it? "I saw that all toil and achievement spring from one person's envy of another." Now, just to clarify a few things, because I've been saying everything's meaningless, everything's bad. Just to clarify a few things. It is good to have children. It is good to leave an inheritance for them. It is good to do many things that we do. But if we do it with a motive of envy for someone else, to be better than the other person, or because it's the done thing, I have to do it, otherwise I won't look good, that's not good. That's the wrong motive. It's a chasing after the wind. Meaningless. This verse here is interesting. Ecclesiastes 5:10. "Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income." This too is meaningless. Ecclesiastes 4:16. "There was no end to all the people who were before them, but those who came later were not pleased with their success." This too is meaningless. I just wonder if some of us, I personally am, some of us like politics, some of us care about politics in this country or in America, like with Trump, for example, or other things around in Europe. I know I do, but I feel if we focus too much on that, that also is very, very meaningless. And we can worry ourselves about a lot of things as well, like just with these tariffs things at the moment. I have my views. I don't come here from the front to preach my views on things because that's not appropriate, but even so, it's meaningless. I think we have to be careful. Anyway, moving on. Third point, only what is done for Christ will last. And this is where we get into it. Only what is done for Christ will last. Today I've read a lot from Ecclesiastes, and indeed pretty much the whole of the book goes on in this manner. Those of you who have actually read it. But as it comes to an end in chapter 12, he says this, verse 13, chapter 12, verse 13, "When all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is this: fear God and keep his commands, because this is for all humanity. For God will bring every act to judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil. Fear God, keep his commands. This is for all humanity." Then the Apostle Paul writes this in Colossians 3:23. "Whatever you do, do it from the heart, as something done for the Lord and not for people, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ." Whatever you do, do it from the heart. We serve Jesus Christ. So whatever we do in this life, It has to be done from a place of serving Him, of honoring Him. We must obey Him first and foremost, keep His commands. For what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You know, this life is short. I'm only 34 this year, and the older I get, the more I realize how quick life goes by. When you're a kid, you know, everything's new, everything's fresh and exciting. You're like, I'm really excited. I want to experience everything. But as you get a little bit older, it's just life just goes so fast. I'm married now to Adriana, and we met, I think it was 4 years ago. And that's just gone like that. I was 29 when I met her. It's gone just like that. I just wonder, I presume it does, I've asked a few people, if it goes even quicker as you get older. And many people say the same thing. So life is short. Life is short. And we may not even have tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. We may not even have the rest of this day. We may not have the rest of the week, or the month, or the year. We don't know when God is going to call us home. But what we do know is that we need to be living for the right thing. We need to not be serving ourselves and only our interests, but the Lord, first and foremost. Everything we work for, everything we do, all our aspirations and hobbies and studies and belongings, everything needs to be for Him. And again, I just want to clearly say, just to be clear, I'm not saying it's bad to have a house, or to leave an inheritance, or to build, to save, to buy houses, to have a family, to do all the things we do in life in general. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's not. I'm also not saying it's a sin to accumulate wealth either. I think God blesses some people with wealth for a reason. It's not a sin to have nice things, to have hobbies. But things need to be done for a reason, for the Lord. For myself, I like to play video games. I like old retro video games, the old Sega video games or old Nintendo video games. It helps me to relax. And one of the things that I notice is when I actually do that, it helps me to be a better minister. It helps me to be a better pastor because I'm more relaxed. It's just something I like to do as a pastime. Now, that's what I like to do. You may have something else. It might be drawing or painting or going for a walk or could be many things. Some of us watching Netflix, probably, or some movies or something. Some of these things are okay as long as we're doing it not in excess. And we're doing it just for rest, just for the sake of just doing something in order for us to live better. If we're doing it too much, that's a problem. We need to ensure that we have a balanced life. God commands us to rest. There's various different ways we can do that. As if we're resting properly, we can serve God even better. But let's just be ensured. Let's just be sure of our intentions when we do things. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. When all has been heard, the conclusion of this matter is this. Fear God, keep His commands, because this is for all humanity. For everybody. For God will bring every act to judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil. Whatever you do from the heart, whatever you do, do it from the heart. It's Colossians, as something done for the Lord. Today I actually want to finish with a poem. It's quite a short sermon, but today I actually want to finish with a poem. Some of you might know this. I remember when I first heard this poem, I was actually in Teen Challenge Rehab, which is part of my testimony that Dave mentioned, which I won't be talking about today. But the refrain of this poem has just stuck with me ever since. It's a lovely, thought-provoking poem. It's by C.T. Studd, Charles Thomas Studd. It's called Only One Life, 'Twill Soon Be Past. It goes like this. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens and its hopes and its fears, each with its days I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world will tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep in joy and sorrow, thy word to keep, faithful and true, whatever the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love and fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when it at last I hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, it will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. I really like that poem. It goes on a bit, but so powerful. I just love that refrain there. So in conclusion, everything, unless it's done for Christ, everything in this life is meaningless. Ultimately, everything's going to be burned up one day. All that will remain is, really, the rewards that we have in heaven for serving him. And the people that we have helped bring to the Lord. Everything else will be gone. So whilst it's good, again, like I said, to leave inheritances, to do some of these things, that's the only thing we're chasing after in our life. We have to adjust our thinking. And I know some of you, a few of you are retired already, and I know you're not necessarily working to get huge amounts of things, you're maybe not hugely aspirational, but it's still a challenge even to yourselves to ensure that throughout your life, that you have been doing things for the right reason. And if not, then we can adjust ourselves, can't we? The Lord is good and gracious and forgiving us as well. So let's ensure, no matter where we're at in our lives, that we are right with the Lord and doing things right for him. Let's just pray. Father God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this challenge, a very simple and short challenge, but important, I think, Lord, for us all to understand, Lord. I pray, God, that you would first of all forgive us, Lord. I know that all of us at times would do things not for you, do it for ourselves, or do it because we're envious of someone else or a little bit proud, or for many reasons. At times we might do things, Lord. And sometimes we do it out of pure love as well. So I pray, Lord God, that you just forgive us where it's been times when we've not been doing it for you, or because of what you say in the word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness, Lord, and your cleansing. I just pray, Lord God, that you help us to shift our mindset now, wherever we are in our lives, whatever we're doing. Many of us already have pensions here, and probably, I imagine, houses that are already bought, and inheritances maybe left or ready to be left. Some of us, maybe more than others, but I thank you for them things, Lord, and I just pray they'll be a blessing to whoever it is they go to. But, Lord, I pray that you be at the center of them. I pray, Lord, even within them things, that you would be glorified when they are given away, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Just want to, just really quickly, I don't like to leave an opportunity. I don't know you guys very well. I know some of you, I presume you're all Christians, but just in case. Whether you're a Christian or not is actually irrelevant ultimately, because we can all say we're Christian, all come to church, and yet our heart's not right with the Lord. So this morning, I've been speaking a lot about things being meaningless and empty, and I don't know if any of you relate to that. I don't know if any of you feel that way. Maybe you feel that your whole life is meaningless. But I just want you to know that there is meaning with Christ. You know, there's huge meaning in Christ. He is really the only thing that matters, ultimately. There's many things we, again, find ourselves doing, but he is ultimately the one that gives us purpose, gives us meaning. Because when everything is stripped bare from us, left with nothing, what do we have other than him? Other than the God that created you? So I just want to give you an opportunity just to pray this prayer. This is not a sinner's prayer, what some people call this. It's just a prayer. This is a thing you talk to God like I'm talking now, or like you would talk to a friend. It's just the beginning of a journey. It's not something that one and done sort of thing. This is first step of many steps. So some of you, maybe most of you probably, this is way more than the first step, but that's good. Let's just say this together. I'm just going to say a short prayer and just repeat it. If everyone can do it, that'd be amazing. It encourages those who might be a bit shy. So let's say this. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me.
Thank you that you love me.
I know I have sinned in my thoughts, with words and actions. I am sorry for my sins. And turn from everything I know to be wrong. Lord, help me to trust. And to follow you. All the days of my life. Amen. I just want to encourage you, just if you want to chat, whoever it is, about whatever, come talk to myself or Pastor Dean. Afterwards, and I would encourage you to do that as well.